Hey, all you podcast listeners out there. This is Ian from the Futile Podcast. And I'd just like to tell you that we have been nominated in the general category for the Podcast Awards. So please go and vote for us in the general category at podcastawards.com. You could try Googling podcastawards.com. I think it's just podcastawards.com. I don't think there's a www. That should be cool. So please vote. Voting starts October 23rd and ends November 8th.
I saw Blindness, which is that new...
Oh, is that the one with what's her name?
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
Mark Ruffalo.
And it's supposed to be about, like, metaphorical blindness of society. I heard I posted on Film Junk some, like, really obnoxious comment because
sure
it sounded like the director made some commentary about... I guess blind people were picketing it,
yeah.
And then the director said something about it's about the blindness.
Because when they saw it, they would be pissed.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And I'm like, you know what? I think I should pick up this movie just because
it's based on this beloved novel by some Brazilian or whatever.
Isn't it like a Pulitzer Prize winning novel?
Or Portuguese
or
person
like that.
Portuguese, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then directed by the guy who made City of God.
Yeah,
Fernando Morales.
It sounds like kind of a pretentious pile.
And it was very powerful. It actually was, and the story was very interesting. And even though you know it's an allegory and stuff like that, it makes a lot of sense. And it is actually interesting to see that each character is meant to be an example of a certain type of person that reacts in a certain way when society breaks down. Everyone reacts slightly differently, and you can gather things by that. And then there's the whole metaphor about how the one person who can see doesn't really want to lead anyone. And there's even, like, jokes about that. There's at one point somebody says something about how, we're going to survive because we have a leader with a real vision. And everyone kind of chuckles because it's literal, you know? And
you might want to give me a little bit of the plot here.
Is
it set in a dystopian future?
In a city. It was filmed in multiple cities in Canada, South America, various places, so that it looks like a city that could be anywhere in the world.
A megapolis kind of thing.
And there are black people, there's Hispanic people, there's white people. Of all different ethnicities and countries in it. It's never named. No character is ever named. No one has any names. There's the doctor. There's the doctor's wife. No one has to speak anyone's name in it. It's not presented like, hi, I'm doctor's wife. It's nothing stupid like that. No one has to speak anyone's name in it.
That seems like that'd be a tough thing to get around.
From
a writing standpoint, though.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, if in the script they say doctor's wife, doctor.
I'm sure
thief,
that, yeah.
Like
yeah
that.
I mean, just in terms of like a structure of a story, at a certain point, when you're talking and there's two people there, you know.
Gil, or whatever, how do you pronounce his name? Garcia Bernal, the guy who's in Science of Sleep.
Oh, yeah, that
so
guy.
Like that, the hot up and coming guy who was, you know, in that motorcycle movie about a young Che Guevara. He's really good in it. He plays this guy who calls himself the King of Ward 3. Anyway, so basically it starts with there's this guy sitting in this intersection, this Chinese, I think, guy. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden there's one annoying thing. Every time someone goes blind, there's a ding noise. Ding! And then there, the visual effects and everything. He's sitting there in his car. Suddenly, he goes like this, and he goes blind. And he freaks out. So people come over to help him. People behind him are honking and stuff, but some people come over to help. This one guy helps him, drives him back to his house, and the guy drives away with his car. He steals his car. The guy goes up. He breaks some dishes in his house, lays down. His wife comes in to help him. Eventually, you see that all these other people start becoming blind, people who came in contact with him. He goes to see his optometrist. Is that the doctor, eye doctor? That's Mark Ruffalo.
Ophthalmologist is an MD that's in studies in eyes, so it's probably an ophthalmologist.
Ornithologist? No, I know that.
No.
So,
no, he doesn't
basically
study
everyone, you see in this interesting pattern, everyone who ever came in contact with this guy, and anyone who came in contact with them, starts becoming blind.
This guy's like patient X for some blindness disease, huh?
Right, and it's viral, obviously, and...
it's airborne.
Something, or by touch, or whatever.
It could be bacterial, but it's...
Anyway, you end up by... the doctor wakes up the next day and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm blind. And then he freaks out because Julianne Moore was like touching him. He's like, no, you're going to get it too. Some government guys come in their white suits and they say, get in the van. We're going to take you to somewhere. And she says, I'm going to go with him. They're like, no, you can't. And she's like, well, I'm blind too, so now you have to take me. And they're like, all right, just hop in, you know. So she's not, though. That's the thing. She never becomes blind. It's never explained. It doesn't really matter. They take him to this hospital, but they stop at the gate. They say, get out. And people stand there with guns. And they say, go in there. You're going to walk like 30 paces, feel a door to your left. Go in there. That's your ward. No, no, no. They send him in there to live by themselves. They tell him, find your bed. Find some democratic way to have the other people there with you. But they're the first ones there. And then some other people come in. And it's interesting, all the people that then come in are people that you've seen someone come in contact with at a certain point. And then the interesting thing about the movie is that certain people decide they want to lead and make everything calm. Like, everyone calm down. You're in Ward 1. You know, we're going to work together to try to make sure all the food is distributed equally and all this stuff. And different politics come into play, and then different people's personalities and what they do outside has something to do with in there, but then they don't, because suddenly everyone's kind of equal. At one point, Danny Glover's character, who was a one-eyed man before, he has an eye patch.
Yeah.
He tells a character near the end, he's like, you know, I'm glad this happened to us. And she's like, why? She's like, well, but he goes, because we're all the same and I get to spend time with you, like with you people.
Mm-hmm.
The society inside this ward starts breaking down. You find out that outside, pretty much all of society is broken down, but it mirrors it inside, but these people are kind of trapped. But the whole time, though, they've had this ace in the hole, which is that Julianne Moore's there. She's not telling people she's blind.
She's not blind.
Eventually, she tells the people in her ward that she is.
And then it's like, well, we make a vaccine. I mean, like...
Nothing like that. There's never anything like that. Then they just find a way to go outside and survive and all this stuff. But... And it was very powerful. And it had a hopeful ending and stuff. And it was very interesting. It had moments of, like, terror and drama. And it really did seem very meaningful and important. But it is the most miserably oppressive movie to watch I have ever seen in my life. It is the most like the visuals were amazing, but it was so, it was hitting you over the head with them, and it was a pain to watch. It was painful to watch this movie.
You mean visually?
It wasn't effects or anything. It was, everything was bleached out.
Yeah.
And to show blindness, it was white. People explained that the blindness wasn't like when you close your eyes and it's black. Everything turned white, like a huge bright light was being shined at you. And there's... You know how 12 Monkeys looked?
Yeah.
You know how Delicatessen looked? At times, it's almost overpowering, because it's a lot of moving in Dutch angles, and it's a lot of really extreme close-ups, and it's a lot of... It's something that doesn't look like a real world. And
yeah.
Mixed with the speed of the cuts and stuff, it's a little too much to take in. It was like that, except for without those specific things. It was just so overbearing. And by the time it ends, like you breathe a sigh of relief, because I no longer have to watch this. It felt very powerful. Like it was, you know, I can see why. I mean, it's posturing itself as some big important Oscar thing. If it was filmed with more modesty and, like, self-respect, I guess, I think it would have been received that way. It's getting pretty mixed, because a lot of people are saying the same things I just did about the visuals, I think, mostly.
Yeah.
The allegory never seems like it's too much, like it's stupid. And,
well, it sounds like it's Lord of the Flies or something, pretty much.
It's similar.
It also seems somewhat, kind of, like, inexplicable. I mean, so...
It's frightening, like, well, just because the idea that order breaks down so quickly, and then people tend to try to stay democratic.
They've got this place, they've got this what? This, like, what is it? Is it a...
It's like a military hospital.
A military hospital, yeah. That's just cordoned off.
It's cordoned off.
How many thousands of people are there?
There ends up being a few hundred inside.
Okay, a few hundred. And they just leave them alone? They just walk away?
They walk away, and they stand outside with guns.
There's no CDC trying to find a... There's no one researching them.
Well, that's the thing, is that it doesn't matter. Like, you hear that, like, every once in a while...
Well, it does, because it goes to show that the society hasn't just totally abandoned these people with the disease. If it wants to make that point...
Then you see, at some point halfway through, someone's watching on TV outside. One of the soldiers is there. And you see the person who earlier on was, like, shown to be, like, the head of this society.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, she's like you, I've become blind. We have no cure. We have no idea what's going on. And then, like, later when they, it's not a spoiler or anything, but later they do get out of the hospital because they run outside. The place is, like, on fire for some reason. And Julianne Moore sees that there's no soldiers anywhere. No one's answering them. She swings open the doors and it's open. And she's like, oh my gosh, we're free. And so then you go outside and it's amazing, like this, like everything has collapsed. There's just bands of blind people roving around everywhere.
So it's like the disease had gotten out already.
Yeah, it pretty much has done that. And no one is immune, and everyone suddenly becomes the same, and everyone's just rolling around in this. No one's like killing each other or anything, but they're acting like almost primates toward each other. Like this one part, Julianne Moore goes into a supermarket. There's almost nothing on the shelves, and what there is has been opened. And there's just dozens of people in there whining and like, get away, this is my section, like shoving people away from their sections as they reach for things. And she happens to find her way into a storeroom down below, and she's like, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff down there. She finds a match. And so she comes upstairs like as quietly as she can with these bags of food, and people are like, what is that? What is that? And then it's frightening because suddenly everyone is like clawing at her and stuff, and she's trying to get out, and like these blind people are like raving maniacs suddenly because she has something vital that they all need. And the interesting thing is that she doesn't have some sort of humanitarian thing like, okay, here, take some, I'll get some more. She's screaming and trying to and thwack at them and get away because so she can help her own tiny little band of people that she's escaped with because they're all like tribal now. It really is. I mean, that's the thing, is the movie is very interesting. It's a very intriguing idea. But it was just too much visually. Like, it's hard to recommend it to anyone because they have to sit through. There's one part where the power goes out, like after society has collapsed, and you're inside the hospital, and it's almost pitch black for like 15 minutes. Almost completely pitch black for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it sounds like the director's got his head pretty far up his ass.
He does, but I mean, you saw City of God, right? It's incredible. I've heard it's brilliant. Though. It's brilliant. It's a great, great movie, and that had a lot of like good visual touches to it. But it was mostly just like kind of tried and true stuff. This one is like, I don't know. It wasn't visual so much as like lighting, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I get you. It sounds like it would be problematic. Maybe I'll wear sunglasses when I watch it or something.
Yeah, that always makes everything better.
So thank you for listening, and we're going to keep on doing this. It sounds like it'll be fun. Vote Futile Podcast in the general category of the Podcast Awards between October 23rd and November 8th. Thank you.